Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. He will be back tomorrow. Just needed a day off tonight. Let me get you some of the things coming off the MichaelSavage.com website that we're going to be hitting today. Obviously, the stuff on Syria. And, you know, hey, look, we finally found something less popular than Congress. The poll's up there. The Reuters poll. Only 9% of Americans think we should get militarily involved in Syria. We're going to get into that one big time. That's, hey, 15% of America thinks Congress is doing a good job. We finally found something less popular than Congress. Thank you, Obama. And we also got the story about the Department of Homeland Security employee. Remember the black dude that's running the anti-white, anti-gay, anti-Jew website? He's also in charge of procurement of ammunition for DHS. That's great. That's great. Well, he's on paid administrative leave. I mean, once they found out that he was, you know, promoting a race war against white people and killing, you know, so many that it would hurt his Christian heart, right, they had to at least put him on paid administrative leave. Well, he's doubling down on it now. We're going to get you the details of that one, too. We got a ton to get into today on the program. If you want to jump in, you can do so at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. You can also go to michaelsavage.com for more info. This hour, definitely got to get into Syria and what's going on. Do you realize we're telling Assad exactly what we're going to do? Is that good military procedure? You know, not such a great idea, and should we be in there at all? And is Congress going to get involved? Is Obama going to go to Congress? No. Going around Congress again. Will Congress step up and say, hey, guess what, guys? We're supposed to have a balance of powers here. No, they won't. We got so many congressmen that just say, well, he doesn't really need to go. The War Powers Act. First of all, the War Powers Act cannot trump the Constitution. Secondly, they're not even reading the War Powers Act correctly. You know who said that the president could not go to war or use military forces unless there was an imminent threat or we were rescuing American people? Joe Biden. But not now. Now he's Vice President Biden. You know who else said that? Barack Obama. But that was when he was candidate Obama, now President Obama. See how things change? I mean, you got to understand. Things are a little bit different once you get in the big chair. Yeah, now I can do whatever I want to do. I go around Congress. We don't have time for Congress. Stinking Congress. We don't need no Congress. This is the stuff we're going to get into. And then, you know, there's this big, big hullabaloo about demanding that people have photo IDs to vote. I mean, how dare you? Sure, you need a photo ID to get in the Pentagon and the State Department and most government buildings, and you need a photo ID to apply for welfare and food stamps, and you need a photo ID to rent a car or stay in a hotel or buy a beer or buy some cigarettes. But hey, to vote? That's like Jim Crow. Well, Jim Crow laws are actually coming back, but not over photo ID, over another constitutional right that you have. Going to get you that, too. This hour on the Michael Savage Show on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. So let's start with what's going on with Syria. Okay, so here's the thing out of NBC News. NBC News. The U.S. could hit Syria with 3 days of missile strikes, perhaps beginning Thursday. An attack meant more to send a message to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, you know, than to really topple him or cripple his military. So we've got, and they're citing senior U.S. officials. So we got senior U.S. officials going to NBC and basically telling them exactly what they're going to do. Why would you do that in a military operation? Does that make any sense whatsoever? Unless you were trying to scare the person into backing away from doing something, but that's not what we're doing. We're not saying do this or else. We're saying you've already done it. Here comes the or else. And we're going to tell you exactly what the or else is. I mean, this is... Sometimes I feel like I'm living in a bizarro world. Good bit in the Wall Street Journal late this evening. An American military attack on Syria could begin as early as Thursday. Will involve 3 days of missile strikes. Senior officials telling NBC News. The Washington Post has the bombing at no more than 2 days. Well, long-range bombers could possibly join the missiles. Factors weighing into the timing of any action include a desire to get it done before the president leaves for Russia next week, reports CNN. citing a senior administration official. The New York Times, quoting a Pentagon official, the initial target list has fewer than 50 sites, including air bases where Syria's Russian-made attack helicopters are deployed. Like several other military officials contacted for this report, the official agreed to discuss the planning options only on condition of anonymity. Okay, so wait a second. We're telling them, here's what we're telling Assad. Hey, Assad, don't worry about it, man. We're not coming after you. I mean, we're not even, I got some audio here from Jay Carney here in a second we're going to get into. We're not even going after you or your regime. No. All we're doing is sending a little message, okay? And by the way, we're going to hit your airfields and those helicopters you really like, so you might want to move those for a while, okay? And then, you know, we don't want to make this hard on you or anything. And then when we're done with that, we'll bring it all back. That's great. Isn't that good? Yeah, listen to Jay Carney. Let's start off with cut one here. This is Jay Carney, who is explaining what they're really hoping to do and not do with the missile strikes.
And I want to make clear that the options that we are considering are not about regime change. They are about responding to a clear violation of an international standard that prohibits the use of chemical weapons.
Oh, really? They're about, so the response is not to do any regime change, it's to send a message. Wouldn't you like to be in the military where they tell you, hey, I want you to go into harm's way so you can send a message? Just send a message. Could we call them? Could we send them a text message? Could we? No. We're sending a message with our military might. Wouldn't the better message, if you're really going to do this, see, once again, if America's going to get into a war, if America's going to use lethal force, then it should be done to win. Otherwise, don't do it. Now, I don't think we should be doing it. I don't think we should have gotten involved with this at all from the beginning. I don't think we should have started the so-called Arab Spring. See, I don't believe that everyone in the world is on the same page when it comes to individual rights and God-given rights. I don't think that the American Revolution is something that any country could do. I think you have to be at a certain position as a human being and in your moral and religious belief system to truly believe that even as the majority, you're going to give the minority the same rights that you have. To truly have a Republican, a representative democracy that believes in freedom of speech and freedom of religion and the entire Bill of Rights that we have, that doesn't just fall off the turnip truck. These people don't want that. They don't want freedom of religion. They don't want minority rights. They just want to be the majority to be able to push the other minority to do what they want them to do. This isn't going to turn around. To hell with them. Why are we doing this? Oh, don't you care about people? Yes, I care about people, but I care about our people the most. And guess what? What we're doing isn't going to make it better over there. There's going to be more killings. Since the Arab Spring, there have been more, not less, killings in the Arab world, right? But, you know, okay, so Carney tries to continue with this on exactly what this is supposed to be doing. And whose side are we on? Go ahead. Cut two.
We are also very much engaged in an effort to support the opposition in its struggle with the Assad regime as the Assad regime continues to try to massacre its own people in an effort to maintain power. And it is our firm conviction that Syria's future cannot include Assad in power.
So we're saying he shouldn't be there. By the way, a year ago, we said he had to go. Now we're saying, well, he shouldn't stay, but this isn't about regime change. Do we know what the hell we're doing? No. The poll says only 9% of America wants military intervention, and I understand. I'm right there. Are we on whose side? Okay, let's see who the rebels, who do they have again? Let's see, Al-Qaeda and other terror Islamic groups, Hamas. Look on the other side. You got Assad, Iran, and Hezbollah. Now it looks like Russia and China. Who's the winner? Who do we want to be the winner? What will happen when there is a winner? Majority rule and then brutal rule. And those who are the most brutal will rule. The ones who are willing to kill people if they don't believe with them will end up ruling. And we will be behind it. Does that make any sense to you? Is it just me? Is there something else going on here? And he's doing it by going, once again, trying to go to the UN. If the UN doesn't do it, he's going to do this so-called international coalition, which will be like France and Great Britain and maybe a couple other places, and not go to Congress. Hey, as much as you might be ticked off at Bush for going into Iraq and Afghanistan, he got authorizations to use force from Congress. At least he went to Congress. And he got 48 nations to go with him into Iran. And he went to Congress. Obama just goes to the UN in Libya, right? He got the UN to approve it. Never went to Congress. Now, how is it that you can go to the UN, spend the time to get the UN to approve it, and you can't go to Congress? But our congressmen are idiots. They don't even care.
Well, as the War Powers Act, they can go, you know, we'll do it later, but He doesn't really need to come to us anyway.
You know why? Because they don't want to be on the book. They don't want to be on the record saying yes or no on this. They're wimps. Oh, man, these people drive me nuts. Driving me crazy. Senator John McCain pressed the administration to go further, calling for the U.S. and its allies to provide weapons to the resistance on the ground. Hey, those guys are terrorists too, McCain. Remember how McCain goes, I can tell the difference. He was over there. He was posing for pictures with a couple terrorists. Well, I didn't know those guys were who they said they were. Well, those are the guys we're going to give weapons to. And by the way, don't you think they would use chemical weapons if they could get their hands on them? 3 days of airstrikes planned. Target their air power? Will we get it all? Their chemical weapons? Will we get them all? Should we do it without Congress? Your thoughts on it are welcome as well. Let's start with Joan. Joan, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. Absolutely not. We should absolutely not intervene in Syria. That whole area is craziness. We don't know who used the chemical weapons, whether it was the rebels or the Syrian government. We have no actual confirmation. Who
used the weapons?
That's a good point.
It's a good point. Thanks for getting in, Joan. They tell us, well, we know for sure. Where? How do you know for sure? Where's the evidence? Well, he's the only one that would do it. Well, look at what he's getting from it. Nothing good. I mean, the only reason Assad would have done this is if truly he thought it was his last option or he was about to be killed by the rebels. Was he at that point? Because otherwise he knew this was going to happen. Is it possible that some of the terrorists used it on the people to try to make this happen? It is possible. Do we have the definitive evidence? I don't think we do. But even if we did, the United Nations international law that they keep talking about against chemical weapons doesn't say if you use chemical weapons, it's okay for any nation in the world to attack you. Doesn't say that. Why are we the world police? Well, because it could, if we don't do anything, then it could get greater, and then they could use it against us. And well, if we attack them, they could use it against us in our assets there in the Middle East. And maybe we should have thought about this before we started drawing red lines, as if we had the right to draw red lines on everybody for something that we had no basis even being involved with to begin with. I'll tell you, we're going to keep on this because I also want to get into this thing of Congress and why they're not reining this president in from violating the Constitution. Because candidate Obama and Senator Biden both said this would be illegal, and now they're ready to do it. Want your thoughts on it. We're going to get to it in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
But this deliberation and the actions that we are contemplating are not about regime change. And we believe, as I said earlier in answer to Mark's question, that resolution of this conflict has to come through political negotiation and settlement.
Yeah, political negotiation and settlement. That's why we're launching missiles, because it's about a political message. What? See, this is the problem. We're fighting wars without military objectives and for reasons that are not an imminent threat of harm to the United States of America. Great, great plan. Hey, my name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. It's interesting, you know, this report from NBC News, it says the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, called Parliament back from vacation to vote on what they're going to do. What a concept. What an idea. Hey, maybe Obama could call Congress back to vote on it. No, we don't do that. We're going around Congress. We don't care about Congress. We don't need no stinking Congress. And Congress doesn't think they need it either. They're fine with it. There's only a couple people that are saying maybe we should have a vote. The rest are like, well, as long as they just give us a call every once in a while, it's all right. Just send me a text message. In Cairo, the Arab League says it has held Assad responsible for the suspected attack. Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and other countries condemning the use of unconventional weapons. Okay, so why aren't they launching the missiles in? Why aren't they handling this? Why do we have to? We're going to send them a bill for every missile we launch? And by the way, we've got Ed Henry, finally, somebody, Fox News, going after Jay Carney and the president because President Obama, back in 2007, in an interview with the Boston Globe when he was then candidate Obama, was asked in the context of Iran, does the president have the constitutional authority to bomb Iran without seeking a use of force authorization from Congress? And candidate Obama said, the president does not have the power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve an actual or imminent threat to the nation. Ed Henry and Jay Carney, here we go. Cut four.
Does President
again,
still agree with
you? Absolutely, but you're also trying to get me to engage in a discussion about a decision that has not to be made.
It is a hypothetical. It has been on the table for a year, year and a half.
Sure.
Right? Now it's not about hypotheticals. We're maybe within days, if not hours, of the president making a decision, correct?
It is correct that the president is working with his national security team, reviewing the options available to him to respond to the clear violation of an international norm by the Syrian regime on a significant scale, chemical weapons against innocent civilians. A. B. As I made clear, it is clearly in the United States' national security interests that that norm be maintained.
So here's the translation. He won't tell you whether Obama still believes in that. He didn't answer the question. And he's not going to go through Congress. That's the answer. That's the answer. This is just the beginning of what we got here. Joe Biden used to say the same thing, that you can't do it. People used to say we should impeach a president for doing this. But now, the War Powers Act. That's all we got to worry about now. Everything's okay. So we're not going to go to Congress anymore. I got a lot more on this. Maybe we should target Assad if we're actually going to do it. Savage nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Although we don't have 100% proof of that, and he said it was a red line that couldn't be crossed, and he still didn't have a plan to what to do if they crossed it. So he never should have done it to begin with. He's had a year to go to Congress to talk to them about what might happen if it happens. He's never done it. He doesn't plan on going to Congress and getting their permission to get our military involved now. You've got only 9% of America favoring us getting involved at all militarily. The plan is not to do anything to really change what's going on in Syria or to lead to regime change, but just to send a political message with Americans' lives at risk. Don't know what might be the response from Syria, the terrorist groups, Russia, China, Hezbollah on the one side, Hamas, Al-Qaeda on the other side. But no, that's a great plan. Oh, yeah. It pretty much sums it up so far. Oh, and by the way, we're leaking out exactly what we're going to do in a military strike before we do it. Other than that, it sounds like a perfect plan, doesn't it? Let me start with Casey. Casey, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead. Hey, Casey.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Nope.
All right, got to let you go, Casey. Sorry. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. How you doing?
Hi, Greg. By the way, he never did even make any kind of alliance in Sudan and the Congo, where literally millions of Christians are murdered and raped and pillaged and burned out, but that's another story, I guess.
Well, you do raise a good point. I mean, where in the world do we not go? Because it's happening, you know, there are always situations like this around the world, and somehow we pick and choose this one, you know.
Well, exactly. Well, as long as it goes around Congress, because I know you've been talking about it, you know exactly about the deal where he said he was going to go around Congress and get things done, yet he goes to the U.N. I mean, he went and signed one of those green initiative things with the U.N., without going through the Senate. You know, he's, I don't know if we're held accountable for any of these things, but he's saying all kinds of things and agreeing with all kinds of things with world order.
No one holds him accountable, Mike. Thanks for getting in. You're right. I mean, here nobody holds him accountable. He's going to the UN instead of Congress. Somehow the UN has been elevated over Congress by this president. He did it for Libya, and he's trying to do it again for Syria. And our Congress has sit to the side. Well, hey, guess what? Here's one from Fox News. Lawmakers press Obama to seek their input, approval on Syria's strike. Well, not really. As you read down through it, there's Republican Representative Scott Riggle, Virginia. He's asking colleagues to sign a letter to Obama that urges him to reconvene Congress and seek approval. Good. But the other ones are like, well, he doesn't really need it. He's got the War Powers Act. He can do it. The War Powers Resolution in 1973. Well, guess what? No, it doesn't. That act, first of all, cannot supersede the Constitution. But secondly, it requires the president to seek congressional authorization when the military is sent into hostilities for anything except a retaliatory attack, which we're not doing. They haven't attacked us. Or formally declared war, which we're not doing. Or for imminent attack, which is not happening. So he did it before in Libya. Nobody stopped him, so he's going to do it again. And nobody will hold him accountable. Nobody's talking impeachment. Nobody's talking about doing anything to stop this president. Does that make any sense to you? Let me get Daniel in. Daniel, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Bill and Inga, right ahead.
How you doing, sir?
It's a doing well.
On the Savage Nation. I just had a quick comment. If this, if we do attack Syria, and Obama gives, I guess, the word to attack Syria, do you think this war will be prolonged, or do you think it'll be a short airstrike, and that'll be basically the political message? But the reason why I ask is because it may escalate into a further war, maybe a lot broader, like you said earlier with Russia, or maybe allies. But
I think it's a real concern, Daniel, when you look at this. I mean, it's already a proxy war, right? You've already got Iran in there and Hamas in there on the side, excuse me, Hezbollah on the side of Syria. You've got Al-Qaeda and other Islamic terrorist groups on the other side. It's already a proxy war. And no, this isn't going to end it. They've already said that the point of this attack is not to end it. They're trying to thread this weird needle, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's just going to, I think, probably make things worse. Now, listen, thanks for the call. Listen to this. I got a question for you. What is the only reason that Assad would use chemical weapons, knowing the reaction that was going to come from the United States and NATO allies? The only reason he'd use it is to save his own skin, right? So, was he at the point that he thought he had to do this to save his own skin? There doesn't seem to be any evidence of that. So did he do it? We still don't know. And by the way, no matter what we do, if there comes a time again in the near future where Assad thinks he's about to get killed, they're about to overtake where he is, the rebels are about to win, do you think no matter what we threaten to do, that he wouldn't go ahead and use chemical weapons? I mean, look, it's self-preservation. The logical answer is he will use it. No matter what we do, unless we actually went in there and took it all out. Are you ready to do that? Is that something we should be doing? Let me get Ira in. Ira, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
How you doing? Let me just say that it's basically a civil war between Shiite and Sunni, and this has been going on for well over 1,000 years.
True.
And I am tired of American presidents getting us involved where there is no national interest. At least in other instances, like with Korea, well, that was necessary.
Now, Ira, let me stop you for a second, because here's what I know this is what the Obama administration will say.
Russia.
Allowing chemical weapons to be used in the Middle East is our business, because if we allow it to continue, then they'll be used more and more, and then they'll be used by terrorists against our interests. What do you say?
That's right. So it's best for us to mind our own business, and anything we do just puts us, Obama wants us on the side of the Shia, rather of the Sunni, of the Muslim Brotherhood. And this way, he wants to establish his credentials that he is on the Muslim Brotherhood side, and they're still scheming to get the Muslim Brotherhood back in charge in Egypt, and that's all very dangerous for the United States, and we better support the current Egyptian government, because that's the only mark.
Ira, thanks for getting in. I'll tell you this. I don't know who to support anymore. I don't think we're smart enough to know who to support. I don't think – look, we've destabilized all these stable dictators that weren't great but were better than what we're going to have. What have we got for it? What have we got to show for it? What's happened from the Arab Spring? You know, I'm of the opinion of the to hell with them doctrine. Jonah Goldberg wrote a good piece on this last week. You know, I mean, what have we done? We've gone into Bosnia, Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, all these places where – yes, for our own interests, supposedly, but also we have freed Muslims from dictators, from terror groups, allowed them to be more free to have the vote. And what have we got for it? More hatred. To hell with them. And that's why we need more fracking in this country. And it really, really just burns my biscuits that Obama's now talking about delaying a decision on the Keystone Pipeline till 2014. Here we are with fracking of oil and gas, with something like the Keystone Pipeline, with everything we've got in the Rocky Mountain formations, with everything we've got in the Green Valley Basin, whatever you call that thing, all this fossil fuel stuff that we've got that could make us energy independent, and he's holding back because he wants solar and wind. I tell you, we become energy independent, to hell with them is the doctrine. What do you think? Is it time for a to hell with them doctrine? Because I think it is. Let me get Debbie in. Debbie, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
I don't know how we dare tell our military, after all of what they've been through for the last decade, on the flip of a dime, they have to go in and help and defend people that they truly know to be how incredibly evil they can be.
And that's the thing, Debbie, right? Who's the good guy?
Well, they know.
Who's the good guy? There is no good guy. Thanks for the call. There is no good guy. Let me answer the question. There is no good guy. Both sides suck. So why are we in there? Does that make any sense? And now we've got Russia and China getting into the proxy war, along with Iran. And, you know, here's an interesting thing. Let's play this one. We do a little Wayback Machine. Chris Matthews, 2007, had then-Senator Biden on the show. They were talking once again, what if that George W. Bush decides to go into Iran without going to Congress? Would that be something that would be impeachable? Listen to what Joe Biden said. Cut 7, please. Well, we may not have that one
yet. Stand by that comment I made. The reason I made the comment was as a warning. The reason I don't say those things lightly, Chris. You've known me for a long time. I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee for 17 years, or its ranking member. I teach separation of powers and constitutional law. This is something I know. So I got together and brought a group of constitutional scholars together to write a piece that I'm going to deliver to the whole United States Senate, pointing out the president has no constitutional authority to take this nation to war against a country of 70 million people unless we're attacked or unless there is proof that we are about to be attacked.
Oh.
And if he does, I would move to impeach him. The House obviously has to do that, but I would lead an effort to impeach him.
Oh, did you hear that? The only reasons you could do that without Congress is if you're attacked or about to be attacked, or I would impeach him. That was Joe Biden on George W. Bush. Now Vice President Joe Biden, of course he can do it. Of course he can without Congress. Isn't it interesting how quickly it changes? You know, if you're going to do this, if you were really going to do this and say this was the red line and we don't allow it to be crossed, then I think Brett Stevens at the Wall Street Journal had a great point. Target Assad. I mean, really, if you're going to do it, then the only thing that makes sense is to go to the guy that ordered the chemical weapons to be used if you believe he did it. What is this? I don't understand this idea. And I know that we have an American law that we put in that says we do not assassinate people. But wait a second. Why in the world should we kill hundreds, thousands, maybe tens of thousands, instead of going after the guy that's ordering the chemical weapons in the first place? Why don't you do a targeted strike on where we think Assad is living, take him and his family out? You think that would stop a dictator from using chemical weapons in the future? I mean, if you really want to send a message, that's a message. Oh, but we couldn't do that. That'd be assassination. That'd be murder. How is that any different than what we're doing with the drone strikes? I mean, when it was al-Qaeda, we went after the head of al-Qaeda, right? We're going after Osama bin Laden. So when it's something like Assad using chemical weapons that they say he's doing, then why don't we go against him? I mean, Stevens puts it, he said, here's what you do. Kill Assad, also his brother. Also, everyone in the Assad family with a claim on political power. Also, all the political symbols of the Assad family's power, including all their official or unofficial residences. I mean, because if you're going to use chemical weapons against your own citizens, civilized world cannot tolerate it. It must demonstrate the penalty for it will be acutely personal and inescapably fatal. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, because otherwise, none of the other messages matter. Because the only reason you're going to be using those chemical weapons is to save your life. If you know it's going to be a death sentence for you anyway, then maybe you won't. But everything else is just nonsense. And yet that's precisely what we're doing. And, of course, we're not going to go to Congress for it. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Oh, and I also want to tell you, one of your constitutional rights is being threatened, and it's not because of voter ID. I'm going to get it to you in just a moment. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You believe in big government? That's what you vote for. You're perfectly fine to vote for whatever you want.
Mark Levin.
But if you think I'm going to shut up over it, you're dead wrong.
Weekdays at 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We'll keep talking about Syria, but there's a lot of other stuff going on, too. And I want to get you this story, you know, because we are told that we're going back to the Jim Crow days. I mean, between Hillary Clinton saying it and President Obama and Joe Biden and Eric Holder and on down the line, it's Jim Crow days because we're actually expecting people to prove who they are when they vote. I mean, it's weird. It's very strange, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy because supposedly minorities can't get photo IDs, which is weird because when I went in to get my driver's license, I saw a bunch of black people and Hispanic people in there. I should have gone up to them and said, hey, man, you guys are wasting your time because they don't give photo IDs to you guys. I mean, that's what I heard from Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. You guys can't get them. I don't know. It seems kind of wrong to me. But, oh, you can't get? You already have one? Oh, I don't know how that happened. So anyway, that's not us going back to Jim Crow days. You know what is? Two Democrats are going after your constitutional right, your Second Amendment constitutional right. Representative Bill Pascrell, and he's a Democrat from New Jersey, and Danny Davis, Democrat from Illinois. They are sponsoring a bill that would almost double the tax on guns to 20% and quadruple the tax on ammunition to 50%. They want to punish you as a law-abiding gun owner, punish you and make it harder for you to exercise your Second Amendment right, and then they want to take that money and they want to use that to go after the gun violence. Wait, so law-abiding gun owners are going to have to pay extra for criminals? Yes, because you guys have guns, and guns are the problem. But they're not a problem when I have them. Well, but we can't. How do we trust you? How do we know you're not a criminal? Because I went through a background check to buy my gun? Because look, you're already trampling on my Second Amendment right, really. I mean, think about this for a second. The liberals say, if you even make somebody prove who they are to vote, you're violating the right to vote. But already, on your Second Amendment right, you have to show your photo ID to apply for a gun permit in many places. You have to show your photo ID to buy the gun. You have to pay extra punitive taxes already on guns and ammunition. In some places, you're not allowed to have your gun unless you follow very specific requirements on how to store it. And yet, somehow that's okay. And now they want to double it on guns and quadruple it on ammunition. This is like a bad Chris Rock skit. Well, you guys watching Chris Rock had a bit where he was saying, hey, here's what we got to do. I think we should make a bullet cost $5,000. Because if we make it cost $5,000, then no innocent bystanders are going to get shot anymore. It's too expensive. And then you know if somebody gets shot, they must have really done something because the guy's about to spend $5,000 to shoot him. It was a joke. It was funny. But they're serious about this. So your Second Amendment right, they're trying to tax you out of it. And you know who it's going to hurt the most? The poor and minorities. Especially the poor minorities who are living in high crime neighborhoods who are trying to defend themselves and exercise their Second Amendment right. So here you are trying to exercise your Second Amendment right. Get yourself your gun and your ammunition in order to defend your family. Perhaps one day even have to defend the country. Being able to hunt, being able to target shoot, that's not what the Second Amendment's for, but that's something you could use your gun for, of course. And they're trying to tax you out of it. Trying to tell you that's going to help the problem with violence with guns. By the way, did you know in the last 20 years the FBI shows you, the FBI stats show you, that we have had a decrease in gun violence as gun ownership has increased. A decrease in gun violence, a decrease in gun homicide. I know it doesn't look that way when you read the newspaper, but it is that way when you look at the FBI stats. In the last 20 years, increase, significant increase in gun ownership, and a significant decrease in gun violence and gun homicides. But that's not good enough for these guys. They want to make it harder for you to exercise your Second Amendment rights. Davis, who represents the portion of Chicago, which has been ravaged by gun violence in recent years, says money raised from the new taxes will go to good use. Chicago had a virtual gun ban, and it was one of the highest gun homicide areas in the nation. You think maybe it doesn't work? What they were doing was making it difficult for law-abiding people. There was a situation in Chicago, you could not have a handgun. And if you had a rifle in the house, it had to be unloaded and in some instances disassembled. And yet, they can't figure out why they have gun crime. Why are we? This legislation is a proactive approach to reducing gun violence by using proven preventive programs, which have been starved for funds until now. Really, really, we have proven programs to stop gun violence. Tell me which ones they are. The only ones I know for sure that have stopped gun violence is when you lock the guy up for the gun violence. But under this president, there's been a 40% decrease in federal gun prosecutions. My name's Greg Knapp. Filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael on The Savage Nation. You can join us at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, and go online to michaelsavage.com. Yes, we're talking about Syria, and we'll continue to do that. And I got some interesting stories still coming out about it, and love your thoughts. But I also want to get into what's going on with race in this country. When you look at what happened with the Martin Luther King March and everything, the Department of Homeland Security employee who had a racist website up, the guy's now on paid administrative leave, but he doubled down on it over the weekend. We're going to get you that. Jesse Jackson is now saying the Tea Party is the second coming of the Confederacy. This is all these guys have. I guess it's all they got. I guess it's the only way they can make money is to race hustle and race pimp. And to look at the world through race-colored glasses and not see the progress that's been made and try and stir up and create more divisions. And it's really coming to a head here in America. We're going to get into that, too. And how about a 49-year-old teacher having sex with a 14-year-old student, admitting that it was unconsensual, and getting 30 days in jail for it? Oh, by the way, the 14-year-old killed herself. Great. We got all that, and how do you feel about remote controlling someone else's body? We can do that now. Well, kind of. It's all coming up this hour, the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Let's get to it. The update on Syria, of course, is that we're telling the world what we're doing, including Assad. We're going to launch a few missiles for a few days, and we may hit some of these areas that have his strategic helicopters. So he'll want to move those. But listen, we're not doing regime change or anything. It's just to send a message. So, and we're not, you know, it's not like we're taking sides here. We're just saying we can't do the chemical weapons. Well, we're kind of saying that because we're not really trying to destroy the chemical weapons. And we're not really going to target Assad personally. And we're not really going to, doesn't look like, attack a lot of his weaponry. So it's just to send a message, pretty much. Yeah, because we don't know what we're doing. And we probably shouldn't have been here to begin with. And that's where we stand. Are you going to go to Congress? No, Congress. UN? Well, we'll try with the UN, but it probably won't work with Russia and China. So we'll just get a couple people together and do it, and then that way we can say at least we did something because, see, Obama said it was a red line. Is it going to do anything? Oh, probably not. But at least then we've got some credibility back. How? Great piece by The Independent. You have to go to a British paper to get this question. It's the beginning of the whole article. It says it all, really. Does Obama know he's fighting on al-Qaeda's side? It's a great question. Does Obama know he's fighting on al-Qaeda's side? Al-Qaeda is fighting Assad. Now, Assad's side's not any better either. You got Iran and, you know, you got Hezbollah over there with Iran and Russia and China. But on the other side, you get Al-Qaeda and Hamas and other terror groups. If Barack Obama decides to attack the Syrian regime, he has ensured for the very first time in history that the United States will be on the same side as Al-Qaeda. Robert Fisk, independent, Great Britain. He's right, isn't he? I mean, really, is there any other way to put it? First time in history, we'll be on the same side as Al-Qaeda. The people that did 9/11 to us. Maybe that's why that new Reuters poll that's up at michaelsavage.com shows that only 9% of Americans want military intervention. Only 9%. Maybe that's why. Iran is watching the red lines and the deadlines, and they're laughing. Candidate Obama said, no, we shouldn't go to war without Congress. Senator Biden said, no, you shouldn't go to war without Congress, even with the War Powers Resolution. President and Vice President say yes. Does anybody think this is going to end well? Does anybody think this isn't going to expand into a greater conflict? Is this going to bring more terrorists in from all around the world to this battle, this war, and then expand from there? Does Obama know he's fighting on Al-Qaeda's side? That is a great question. Does he care? See, I think Obama is trapped into this belief that he has to do this to save face. Think about that. Here's a president getting ready to put our people into harm's way to save face. Because it's not doing anything else. It's not to regime change. It's not to knock out the chemical weapons. It's not to make sure this never happens again. Because this does nothing. I mean, if you're Assad and you got Russia and China behind you and the United States launches a few cruise missiles at you, do you care? Really? So it's to save face. The President of the United States of America taking us to war to save face. And Congress doing nothing about it. Hey, let me get Linda on this. Linda, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hey, yes, Greg. Well, my thinking is, how can we have accountabilities to Congress? Can't we impeach them or address them and stuff? Because they're not doing the job. He's going to go to the UN, and the UN is going to be the one that he's getting permission from. And what can we do to Congress for the fact that they're just giving this a slide?
Great question, Linda. You know, I had a congresswoman on the other day on my show that I do every day, and I said to her, "You are admitting to me on the air that President Obama is breaking the law. He's broken the law on illegal immigration, gone around Congress with his own Dream Act." He broke the law when he went into Libya and never went to Congress for permission, although he went to the UN to get permission. He broke the law with Eric Holder as he told the prosecutors, federal prosecutors, to withhold evidence on drug crimes to avoid minimum mandatory sentences. That's a violation of the law. He broke the law when he unsealed a sealed indictment of the terrorists in Benghazi. He's not allowed to do that. The president's allowed to declassify information. He's not allowed to unseal documents, unseal indictments. On and on and on are the times that Obama has broken the law by going around Congress. So here you are, Congresswoman, admitting that to me on the show. What are you going to do about it? Well, what do you mean? I mean, there's only so much we can do. We only control one half of one third of the government. You could impeach him. Well, what good would that do? She literally said to me, what good would that do? I mean, we're not going to get a conviction in the Senate, so what good would that do? Well, it would put him on trial to the point that the world and definitely people in the nation would pay attention to the fact that our president is breaking the law and not upholding his oath to the U.S. Constitution. Come on, Greg, that really wouldn't do anything. See, they're so worried that the media will say that they're racist, that the media will claim that, they're just trying to hurt this president. This doesn't do anything. Boy, this is why Washington is broken. They're so afraid of that they won't do the right thing. Because let me ask you a question. Which is worse? A president who lies under oath about having sex with an intern, or a president who continually goes around Congress and violates his constitutional oath? We impeached one. We're not even talking about it with the other one. So you're right. What do you do with that Congress? You vote them out. You get a chance every 2 years for that. Or you can recall them, but that's going to be really hard. But you got a chance every 2 years. You got to get more people in there who are Tea Partiers. You got to get more Rand Pauls and Ted Cruz's in there. Those are the type of guys you need that are actually would be willing to do this. What is necessary to go after a guy who is violating his oath of office? He's not going to get anything from the UN this time because you got Russia that can veto it, China that can veto it. They're not going to go along with it. And it's all to save face. That's really the only reason that you can come up with. Because all the stuff that you normally would do this for, he's not doing. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Get you on board the program. Let me get Bill in. Bill, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. We met at a debate that you were at in your home turf. It was Ryan and Biden.
Oh, great. Well, I appreciate that. Go ahead with your comment.
I gave you my card at the time, and I was going to say that what we have here is it's a provocation. Someone has done this killing to draw the United States in, but it can be accomplished by a number of ways, not necessarily by chemical weapons delivered by Syria. Assad has no interest in doing this, and he's a very logical guy. I mean, before this taking over as president, he was living in England. I believe he was an optometrist.
So what you're saying, Bill, is you believe that this was the rebels or the terrorists that are working with the rebels, not Assad.
Well, what we would have to know is exactly who was killed, and then we can determine who did it. But the
I don't even know that that's true, Bill, because if you're the terrorist, you don't care if you kill innocent civilians, supposedly on your side, if it gets America to help you by going after the other side.
You're absolutely right, but you know you realize our ambassador to the UN is Samantha Power, correct?
Right. She was on some personal issues the last time this came up. Yes, she had to tweet her response. Yes.
She was dodging it, but you know her husband is Cass Sunstein, correct?
Right.
And so Samantha Power has actually originated a doctrine for our armed forces in our country called Responsibility to Protect, or R2P. And R2P means, and she got this out of her experience during the Rwanda period.
Right.
Meaning that any time we see a populace that's oppressed by its own rulers, we will step in to protect. So if you consider our national security team now, we have John Kerry as Secretary of State, Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense. Our national security advisor is none other than Susan Rice, who was involved in the Rwanda incident as well, and Samantha Power at the UN. And then that advice is focused to the president through Valerie Jarrett. So what this is actually a way that the president will seek to improve his standing at home by appearing to be a wartime commander-in-chief. But this is not a popular fight.
It's a very interesting way to look at it, Bill, and I appreciate you getting in with it. And what it really boils down to then is what we're saying is we're going to go in when people are harmed by what we believe is their leader. But, of course, we're not going to go in when our own people are getting killed by terrorists in Benghazi. Okay. I just want to make sure we understand it. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And that last caller, really, when he just went down all those people that are around Obama as his main advisors, that should scare the hell out of you if you know anything about all those people he just named. Because I hadn't just really thought about every single person he just named in a row like that. That is scary. Is there a race war about to rage in this country? Well, one DHS employee thinks so. We're going to get to it in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I am in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Yes, we're talking about Syria. We're also talking about some other things. Let me throw this one at you. The Department of Homeland Security employee, this is the guy who has his race-based website up. He is the guy that is in charge of procuring ammunition at the Department of Homeland Security. Okay, happens to be a black dude. He's Io Kimathi, but he also calls himself the Irritated Genie, He's been running a website that he told the Department of Homeland Security was just about concerts and stuff. But it's basically promoting a race war. In order for black people to survive the 21st century, we're going to have to kill a lot of whites. More than our Christian hearts can possibly count. So he's been, his site is anti-Jew, anti-white, anti-gay. I can't think of anything else. Let's say one of his former supervisors said everybody in the office is afraid of him. His coworkers are afraid he will come in with a gun and someday go postal. No, why do we always have to do that to the post office worker? I mean, why couldn't we call it, I don't know, going government? Or, going Nidal Hassan. Maybe we could call it that. Going Fort Hood. Maybe we can move to that. But instead it's going postal. Poor guys. Anyway, he now has been punished severely. He's on paid administrative leave. Paid administrative leave? No! What are we going to do? Wouldn't you like to go on paid administrative leave? I'm trying to find out a way around the office that I could get on paid administrative leave for a couple years. Can I just get that? No, because I don't have a union. I don't work for the government. See, we all need government jobs. Everybody should be working for the federal government, and we'll end up like, the Soviet Union. That worked out well. They have better pay. They've got better benefits. They got better health care. They got better vacation. They can't get fired. The dude is still at work. Well, why should he? Has a First Amendment right. Yes, he has the First Amendment right to this website. But if you're going to work at the Department of Homeland Security, should you be allowed to be a blatant racist who talks about killing white people? I mean, it's like if you're a cop, should you be able to be a cop and have those kind of thoughts? Or be a member of the KKK and write about how much you hate black people and think they're inferior when you have to do roadside stops of black people? Do you think maybe the black person might think you're not going to be fair to him? I would think you shouldn't be a cop that way. See, you have the right to your belief system. You don't have the right to a government job that may be impacted by that belief system. Well, he's doubled down on it. Now, and here's the thing. Now that he's on paid administrative leave, he's got time to do more videos. So he's got a new video up at the website. The war is on. The small hats, the white so-called Jews, have stepped it up. That's his new screed on his War on the Horizon website. The anti-white, anti-LGBT website, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. He calls himself the Irritated Genie. Okay, here's what he's got now. The Irritated Genie's under attack from the Zionist small hats, the Uncle Tom Coons, the white sex offenders, the haters, the conspiracy theorists. Our website is getting flooded with traffic at the moment. We expect the owner of our website to be terminated any time. The hosting to terminate our website any day now. The problem is he going to be terminated any day now? No. It's unpaid administrative leave. The man has a right to his opinions. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up again is we're getting a ton of information on these type of race stories. Drudge had this up today. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it. He had this Homeland Security one up. He had preteen black kids bullying a three-year-old white girl. That was horrific if you watch that video. I really don't even want to watch the whole thing. When white people piss black people off was in it. Black teen girls assaulting a white woman. They're being charged with ethnic intimidation. Black man attacking an elderly white male tells him he shouldn't be in his park. Got a black student sent racist text to himself at a high school, making it seem like he was being threatened for running for student president. In a South Carolina restaurant, allegedly refusing to seat black patrons. Are we coming to a boil on race relations, or are we just reporting this a lot because of what happened with the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case and the Chris Lane killing? Are the things really this bad? We're going to get into a second. My name's Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We were talking about race, but we're also talking about what's going on in Syria. And, even a blind squirrel can get a nut every once in a while. I mean, I'm not usually on the side of Dennis Kucinich, Mr. Socialist, the little munchkin dude. You know who I'm talking about. Democrat, Ohio, former congressman. Well, he now has said today, striking Syria would turn the United States military into Al-Qaeda's Air Force. It's a great line. He said, so what, we're about to become Al-Qaeda's Air Force now? Also said it's a violation of the Constitution not to go to Congress. Totally agree with him. and saying, you know, Obama is trying to minimize this by calling it a targeted strike. It's still an act of war. You're right. I mean, if you launch cruise missiles at someone, isn't that an act of war? I'm really tired of America not declaring war when we go to war. We haven't really declared it since World War II. None of those other things have been wars. I mean, we're not at war right now in Afghanistan or Iraq, technically. Well, we're out of Iraq, Greg. Okay, I guess. Love your thoughts on it, too. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Let me go to Sharon. Sharon, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Yeah, I believe Obama knows it. He knows that the opposition is Al-Qaeda. He knows exactly what he's doing. He wants to help Al-Qaeda. He did the same thing in Libya. He knew who he was fighting with. He wanted to fight with Al-Qaeda. He knows. It's not like he's just, he thinks they're the good guys. He knows exactly who they are.
Why do you think he wants to do that, Sharon?
Hmm?
Why would he want to do that?
I think he should learn his lesson from Libya. It doesn't surprise me a bit that they turned on us and killed our four guys. They hate us. They hate us. So they're going to do the same thing again. Okay, we helped them out fine, you know.
Yeah, they're, we're not going to make any friends, Sharon. Thank you. I agree, and thanks for the call. I really think the reason he's doing this, tell me if I'm wrong, tell me what you think. He's trying to save face. He set up a red line that he never should have set up, never had a plan on what to do if they did it, thought he could just bluster his way through. You got to remember, this is the guy who, when he became president, thought he could just sweet-talk all our enemies. Oh, if I would just go, once I engage with Iran, then they'll understand. Once I engage with Syria, once I engage with Libya, once I talk to these people, they're going to understand the awesomeness of me, the awesomeness of the one. And then everything's going to be okay. Remember? I mean, this was the guy that said, this is the time when the oceans stopped rising. You remember? This is the guy that's going to control the oceans. And he can't believe the people aren't bowing down to his teleprompter. And so when it doesn't happen, he doesn't know what to do. And to save face, we're doing this, that we'll do absolutely nothing except put some of our people at risk. Does that make a lot of sense to you? All right. And the other thing is going on is this race thing. Jesse Jackson now is out there saying this, quote, "The Tea Party is the resurrection of the Confederacy. It's the Fort Sumter Tea Party. There has been zero evidence of racism in any Tea Party activity that I have ever seen or read about. How about you? But they keep trying to tell you they're racist. I've been to a lot of Tea Party events. All I see are people who love the Constitution. Never heard a single racist word at any of these events. I've seen black people there, Hispanic people there, Asian people there, white people there. Now, is it mainly white? Yeah. But I sure haven't seen any racism. But he believes that he's absolutely convinced that the people who are against Obama's agenda are motivated by race. To what degree is the partisan gridlock that is frustrating his attempts to govern racially driven is one that President Obama himself is begging to ask, according to Taylor Branch, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of a trilogy on the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The president can't publicly broach the topic, Branch said, because the slightest mention of race could alienate the millions of white Americans who voted for him. What? How is America such a racist nation if we elected a black man to be president twice? By the way, how is it that I was just as angry about the policies of Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter and some of the policies of George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush, and yet it wasn't because they were white? Let me get Sean in on this. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
I tell you what, I live in a small town, Wilkes-Barre City, Pennsylvania, in Luzerne County, and it's getting to the point now, black on black, white on black, Hispanic on it, this race, the race war is going to start here. It's not going to be in the bigger cities. That's already a problem too far gone.
But what's so, Sean, you're actually seeing an increase where you are in that kind of violence?
It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. In Wilkes-Barre City alone, in the last handful of months, the murder rate and shooting rate alone. We just had two young children shot, 5 and 2 years old, black on black. And it's getting to the point now where a small-town guy like myself and like the people who are around here are going to get sick of it. And then what? Then I become a racist because I'm trying to protect myself and my family? Absolutely not. I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment rights. I'm a firm believer in protecting myself and those who I love. And it's getting, like I said, it's getting to the point now, it's sickening. It's sickening.
Well, but Sean, thanks for the call. I don't know that that is evidence of racial tensions getting higher, because if you look at the facts on this, the facts are almost all of the gun homicides, young black men killing young black men. On the other side, young white men killing young white men. Almost all of them are race to race. And that's why it was so ridiculous to say that the Trayvon Martin situation shows that, oh, black people better watch out. You can't walk through a mixed race neighborhood. No, the biggest threat to a young black man in America is another young black man in America. That has nothing to do with racial tension going between the races. And I think a lot of this is being trumped up by the way it's being covered now in the media and by the way that a lot of the liberals try to make it seem like everything is race. And you know what that does? That gets us so ticked off that we say, wait a second. I'm not racist. And by the way, look at that story. And look at that story. And look at that story. And then we're trying to do tit for tat. And then that really does start to bring up the tensions. And now the new thing from the liberals is, well, you say you're not liberal. I mean, you say you're not racist. I mean, they just had the Obama rodeo clown, Missouri State Rodeo. He came out yesterday. He's like, listen, we've done this thing for 15 years. We've done it to all kinds of presidents. Had nothing to do with race. If I met Obama, I'd shake his hand. Right? I mean, what are you talking about? They said, are you a Republican or Democrat? He said, I'm a rodeo clown. I'm just trying to make people laugh. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and I'm getting death threats. That's the Obama rodeo clown. I'm sure you heard about that. He had the Obama mask on. They said it was racist because it was a white guy in a black Obama mask. So what are you talking about? I'm not racist at all. See, you can't prove that you're not racist. So here's how the liberal mind works. And this is why Michael Savage says it's a liberal disorder. It's a mental disease. Well, I know that you don't think you're racist. Then I'm sure you'd probably tell me that you even have some black friends. And maybe you even do have some black friends, if I can use that term. But what you don't understand is that subconsciously you're still racist. What are you talking about? Well, see, you're white. So since you're white, you're subconsciously racist. And you don't realize the white privilege that you have. And that in and of itself makes you racist. And really, the only way you could not be racist is if you were a liberal Democrat. And then we'll give you a little bit of leeway. But even then, you may be. Because, see, this is like global warming, right? Okay, here's how global warming works. If it's really hot, it's global warming. If it's really cold, it's global warming. If it's in the middle, it's global warming, and it's in the middle of changing from hot to cold. If there's a lot of hurricanes, it's global warming. If there's not enough hurricanes, it's global warming, right? So there's no way it can't be global warming. It's the same thing with this. You're white, you're a racist because you're a member of the Tea Party. You're not a member of the Tea Party? Well, you're still a racist. If you have black friends, you're a racist. If you don't have black friends, you're a racist. If you claim you're not a racist, you're just really denying the racism that's inside you and pushing it down at such a subconscious level that you don't realize how racist you are. You can't win! That's how they think. And what it really is projection. See, I think these people that are constantly calling you a racist when you're just living your life and treating everybody the same, these are the people who truly are racist. And they're projecting their belief system onto you. That's why, as Savage says, liberalism is a mental disorder. And you're seeing it time and time and time again. Hey, let me get Ed in. Ed wants to chime in on what's going on with the Syria and the chemical weapons and tying it into the Iraq situation. Ed, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was gung-ho for getting out Saddam Hussein, and I believe it was wrong that he should have been kept in. And, well, that's all I have to say, but...
Basically, thanks, that you thought, okay, Saddam Hussein, I'm for it. Now, that didn't work out so well, so why are we doing it again? The point that you bring up, and the reason I wanted to take your call, is because you hope to learn from history. Doesn't look like we've learned from Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya or Syria, or wait, this is Syria, Greg. Okay, or Egypt and now Syria. How is any of this working out to our benefit? Isn't that what we're supposed to care about first and foremost? No, what do you mean? America first? America first? No, not America first. The international community first. That's what we're looking at. I mean, we've got John Kerry, Mr. International Community, Mr. International Consensus as our state, Secretary of State. We've got Cass Sunstein's wife as the UN ambassador. We've got Susan Rice, Miss the Benghazi terrorist attack was all about a video, in there as the national security advisor. We've got President Obama, Mr. I sought out socialists and Marxists to hang out with in college as our president. Is it any wonder we are where we are? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-7282. How about a teacher, a high school teacher? He was 49 years old at the time, has non-consensual sex with a 14-year-old student who later kills herself. He gets 30 days, just 30 days in jail. Tell you about that one in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My name's Greg Knapp. I am in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You can go online to michaelsavage.com for a lot of the stories that we talk about and that Michael is watching. You can call us at 855-400-SAVAGE. Michael will be back tomorrow night. 855-400-7282 gets you into the Savage Nation. There's some weird things going on in our country and weird standards and weird legal standards that we seem to be living down to now. I take you to Montana. It's out of the Missoulian. Former senior high school teacher. He was convicted, okay? He was convicted of raping a 14-year-old female student. The 14-year-old student later killed herself when she was 17. This case has been dragging on since 2008. The judge sentenced him to 15 years in prison. Judge G. Todd Bowe sentenced Stacy Dean Rambold to 15 years in prison, but suspended the entire sentence except 31 days. Already served one day, so he has to serve 30 days in jail, and he's out. The mother of the teenager who was raped and committed suicide screamed repeatedly, "You people suck!" Stormed out of the courtroom. Others had testified that the relationship was a major factor in the teen suicide. The chief deputy county attorney had asked the judge to order Rambold to serve 20 years in prison with just 10 suspended. But the judge said no. The judge said, well, you know, he was kicked out of a sex treatment program, and it really wasn't a big deal and really shouldn't have been kicked out of it. And, you know, he's a low risk to reoffend. And, you know, I'm not really convinced that this is a risk to society. And, you know, I listened to these recorded statements about by this young lady before she killed herself. And, yeah, she was a troubled youth, and she was, quote, as much in control of the situation as Rambold was. She's 14! Well, the judge said that she was older than her chronological age. Really? How did you determine that, Your Honor? She's 14. The dude was 49. She was 14. He admitted to an act of non-consensual sex. Well, come on. She was a troubled teen and as much in control of the situation as he was. When is ever a 14-year-old in as much as in control of the situation as a 49-year-old? This guy was put in a position of power. Could you imagine your 14-year-old daughter having sex with a 49-year-old man and having a judge tell you that she was just as in control of it as he was? I have a 14-year-old daughter. I don't know that I wouldn't want to kill this man. Especially when you see the way that the court handled it. By the way, he'd been warned by school officials in 2004 to avoid touching or being alone with female students. Well, you know, it warned him. Was it a red line? Was he told not to cross the red line? Did they have a plan for what to do if the red line was crossed? Yeah, 30 days in jail. Oh, kind of like, yeah, that sounds about right. Kind of like launching a few cruise missiles for a couple days. That's all. Yeah, sure. Sounds good. Hey, let me get, speaking of the cruise missiles, let me get Bob in. Bob wanted to chime in on us shooting these cruise missiles into Syria. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg.
Listen, I'm wondering what would happen if Assad shot down all these cruise missiles Obama's going to throw at him. And then what would happen if he decided to retaliate?
And that's a great question. What is the retaliation going to be? Who all is going to get involved in the retaliation? Thanks, Bob. Is it going to be Hezbollah? Is it going to be Iran? Is it going to be Russia, China, some combination, North Korea? Is it going to be other terrorist groups that are getting involved? Is there going to be a retaliation? Are we going to try and do this attack not just with our naval ships but with some of our planes? And Assad has some pretty sophisticated surface-to-air missiles compared to some of the other places we've gone into. All for what? For Obama to save face? That's what this is really about? Let me get Joe in on whether or not we truly have a natural interest here, a national interest. Joe, you heard Jay Carney for the White House. He said it's a national interest of ours. What do you say? Uh-oh, I think we lost Joe, or else he's listening in delay, which we can't do. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation. Let me get you one more thing here. We're going to get back into Syria at the top of the next hour, and I'm going to give you my full take on it, okay? And I'll take your phone calls on it. But we do have some other stuff going on, including you want to talk about breaking the laws. Obama is now granting amnesty to another group. You remember he did the DREAM Act for the younger people under the age of 31 who have come into the country under the age of 16 and have lived here for a while, right? His own DREAM Act. Congress couldn't pass it, wouldn't pass it, shouldn't pass it. He passed his own with executive order going around Congress, a violation of his oath to office. Well, now he's issued another one. Now the immigration people are being told to look the other way for parents of illegal aliens. Jimmy, illegal alien parents. Let me get this right. Illegal alien parents. See, if they have kids that were born here, yeah, they're illegal aliens, but we don't want to break up the family, so let's turn a blind eye to those guys now. So he's added in another one. And there is a theory out there that he's going to just slowly keep adding in group after group after group with executive orders to basically get the illegal alien amnesty that he wants. I guess that's what Senator Marco Rubio was talking about. Remember, we said we've got to pass an amnesty bill because if we don't, Obama's just going to do it by executive order, and don't you want the one that we're going to do? To which I would say, wait a second. You're in Congress. You're supposed to stop him if he breaks the law. You're not supposed to be running scared by a president who is willfully violating his oath of office. You're supposed to stop him. And if you can't trust the president of the United States of America not to do an executive order to go around the laws that are already on the books that are supposed to be enforced on illegal aliens because we should have a right to say who comes into our country and who doesn't, as Michael Savage says, borders, language, and culture, if we can't have some kind of control over that by a president that's already willing to break the law to do it, then how in the world can you trust him to uphold the security parts of the amnesty bill that you're trying to write? It doesn't make any sense, and it's a Congress that will not assert the power that it's supposed to have. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And my name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael on the Savage Nation. Michael will be back tomorrow night. Don't worry. He'll be right back in the saddle. You can also go online to michaelsavage.com. You can call into the program at 855-400-SAVAGE. Now, this hour, I'm going to hit the serious story. We're going to get a lot of the details out there for you, and I would love your comments on it. We also got some other stuff going on. The Michelle Obama school food program is being rejected across the nation. What a shocker. And we're going to talk about the government employees that have certain privileges that you don't have. Another reason that, you know, hey, you're stupid not to work for the government. And They get special privileges. Yeah. Special, you know, the law doesn't necessarily have to apply to everybody. It's kind of like Animal Farm. All animals are equal. Some animals are more equal than others. You know, we've really got to start something here where we make this stuff required reading again. Brave New World, Animal Farm, 1984, Atlas Shrugged. You know, we gotta get some of this stuff as mandatory. You can't graduate high school without reading that. I mean, that really should be. When I was a kid, I took Americanism versus Communism in high school. I had to take it to graduate. I'm not that old. Man, if you tried to put Americanism versus Communism and really told the truth about Americanism and Communism, is there a school district in America that would let you do it now? I mean, what is going on? Oh, in with the good air, out with the bad air. In with the good air, out with the bad air. All right, I'm ready. I'm ready, I promise. And we're also going to talk about the autonomous robot car. Are you ready for that? Nissan says that by the year 2020, we're talking about 7 years from now, they will have affordable, energy-efficient, totally autonomous cars to drive you around. I am ready for it. Get all that to you this hour of the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage. He will be back tomorrow. So let's start with Syria, because this is the big deal. I mean, when you're talking about going to war, make no mistake about it, they are talking about going to war. You can call it whatever you want to. You can call it, we're doing a little military intervention. You can call it, we're doing a targeted strike. You can call it whatever you want to. When you launch missiles at someone, that's war. Okay? Let's quit trying to finesse this thing. But see, ever since we had President Clinton go, depends on what the definition of is. Now, we can use whatever words we want. We can just change them. I mean, look at what we did with Egypt. Remember, the law says, if a military coup gets rid of a democratically elected government, then we will cut off all aid to that nation. So what do we say about Egypt that had a military coup that overthrew a democratically elected government? What did we say? We're not going to call that a coup. How do you get to decide whether to call it a coup? It's a coup. Well, it won't serve our national interest to call it a coup, so we're not going to call it a coup. So instead of going to Congress and saying, hey, we know what the law is, so we got to cut off aid because they had a coup, and we'd like to explain to you that we think we should still give them aid, let's vote on it, going around Congress again, going around the law again. This is what the man does all the time, and Congress doesn't seem to care. Congress won't do anything about it. So, you know, we just keep making things up. So now it's not a war. It's a targeted military strike. And because of that, you know, I mean, we don't have to go to Congress. We can do whatever we want. Oh, we got the War Powers Act of 1973. Guess what? First of all, an act of Congress cannot supersede the United States Constitution. Okay? Secondly, that even that law has stipulations that this has to be responding to an attack, or there has to be an imminent threat of an attack on the United States. None of that stuff's around this. We're simply saying we believe it's in our national interest, like Obama is, because we don't want chemical weapons being used. Well, then go to the Congress. You know what? Beyond going to Congress, he hasn't even gone to you. You think the President of the United States of America, before putting our people into harm's way and getting into a military war, call it whatever you want, it's a war, even if it's a short-term deal, you're getting into a war. Don't you think it should go to you, the American tax-paying, voting public, and say, here's why I think we should go. Let me lay this out for you, because this is, of course, your government, and I want you to understand where we're coming from, and I want to get you to agree with me that this is what we need to do. It's called leading. It's called educating the population on what you know. Because, hey, listen, President Obama, if there's stuff you know, because you're in, you know, you get all this intelligence and everything, and you know a lot of stuff that we don't know, and, you know, we're busy watching Miley Cyrus gyrate on Robin Thicke's groin with a foam finger, you know, we might not know everything that you know. I mean, when is Dancing with the Stars starting again? Can somebody look that up? Because, man, oh, man, I just can't wait for that. And Duck Dynasty was on tonight. Oh, man, I might have missed that one. You know, maybe you know more than us. Maybe. So maybe you should lead us and explain it to us. And explain it to us why you are becoming Al-Qaeda's Air Force. Explain to us why now you, for the first time in the history of the United States of America, you are helping Al-Qaeda. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's helping Al-Qaeda.
No, we're helping the rebels.
The Al-Qaeda has taken over the rebels. Oh, well, we're helping the people who are living in Syria. We don't want them to be hit by any more chemical weapons. Do you think if Al-Qaeda gets their hands on chemical weapons, they're not going to use them? Maybe you should really think this thing through. Maybe you should think it a little bit more thoroughly through than you did when you put out your so-called red line. And now what is he doing? He's telling everybody what he's going to do in a military strike. Now, the only time you would really want to tell people what you're going to do in a military strike if the idea was supposed to be the deterrent. In other words, if you say, if you do X, we are going to hit you hard with Y, hoping that they won't do X, well, that makes sense. That makes sense militarily, that you say, you know, trying to do a little dance there where, listen, we're trying to tell you an advance warning here. If you cross this line, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to come down hard, and you're going to be wishing you hadn't done it. That makes sense. But no. He's already done the thing that we don't want him to do, so this is supposed to just be punishment to try to not make him do it again. There's nothing he can do now that will stop this, and yet they're still telling him what they're going to do. Wall Street Journal puts it nicely. An American military attack on Syria could begin as early as Thursday and will involve 3 days of missile strikes. That's according to senior U.S. officials talking to NBC News. Then the Washington Post. The bombing, well, no more than 2 days. Long-range bombers could possibly join the missiles. Long-range bombers. So now we're putting humans at risk in airplanes in an area that has much better surface-to-air missiles than other places we've tried this. Of course, we're putting humans in harm's way from America on our Navy ships that we're using for the cruise missiles as well. Is there a possibility that a terror attack could hit one of our ships, or that Assad or Russia or China could hit one of our ships? Who knows? But they're telling you this. They're telling you this in the news. NBC News, Washington Post, then there's CNN.
Factors weighing into the timing of any action include a desire to get it done before the president leaves for Russia next week.
Oh, yes, we've got to fit it into a schedule. We don't want the president in Russia while we're attacking an ally of Russia. No, that wouldn't look good. The New York Times quoted a Pentagon official. The initial target list has fewer than 50 sites, including air bases where Syria's Russian-made attack helicopters are deployed. So, okay, let's see if we can figure this out. So we're telling Assad, hey, man, don't sweat it. Everything's okay. We're not coming after you. We're not even coming after, really, a bunch of your tough military stuff. We're just going to launch a few cruise missiles in for a couple days, you know, just to kind of show you that you got to stop the whole chemical weapon thing, you know, because we put this red line out, and if we don't do something, we're going to look really bad. All right, so don't worry. Oh, by the way, you might want to move those Russian helicopters that you really like, that are really helping you with the rebels, because we're going to bomb that area, so move those out of the way. I mean, we're going to give you plenty of notice for that one. This is probably really, they're probably telling you the truth. I don't think this is some bait and switch where Obama's trying to be, you know, sneaky deaky with a little strategy. What's the purpose of the attack? Why are they there? Well, Jay Carney said it wasn't for regime change. It's just to make a point. To make a political statement. Is that what our military's left to now? Could you imagine being in the military right now and seeing what this president is doing and how he's using you? I weep for these people. And we've got people over there right now in Afghanistan risking their lives for us in hellhole conditions. We've got special forces all over the place over there trying to do their jobs. And they got to look at this guy and what he's doing and his obvious lack of know-how on international affairs and military affairs. We're going to send a message, they told NBC News. What's the message? That we're just going to, you know, you can do whatever you want to, and we'll just launch a couple missiles and then forget about it? And then we get into, should we have even said there was a red line to begin with? I say no. Should we be in there at all? I say no. How can you pick a side? There's no good side. On the rebel side, there's Al-Qaeda and other Islamic terror groups and Hamas. On the other side, you got Assad, Iran, Hezbollah, Russia, China. Where's the good side? And this is something that I really like that I'm going to get to in just a second here. Take your phone calls. Why is it that when we're saying that Assad's the guy who's responsible for using chemical weapons against his own people, that these military strikes are not going to target him? Why should anybody else die instead of him? Why is it that always it's the lower grunts in the army that get killed? Why don't you target the guy who's ordering the bad stuff to happen? Well, we got a law against assassination. How is that assassination any more than launching the cruise missiles in an area that could hit military personnel? Why is that not assassination? Well, that's war. Okay, so we've decided that it's okay to kill the little guy, not okay to kill the big guy who's making the little guy fight. Does that make any sense to you? Because it doesn't to me. Get into that one in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And I want to make clear that the options that we are considering are not about regime change. They are about responding to a clear violation of an international standard that prohibits the use of chemical weapons.
Yeah. Not about regime change. I mean, it's not like we actually want the guy that killed his own people with chemical weapons out. We just want to let him know that that's not nice. What? First of all, where's the proof for sure that it was this guy? I don't know. I mean, you know, we were fooled once on Iraq, right? Wasn't that the story? Now, and Obama was like, we'll never do that on my watch. Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. And this is about an international standard that prohibits the use of chemical weapons. Well, guess what? That international prohibition doesn't say that you immediately launch missiles if somebody does use chemical weapons. That's just what Obama wants to do because he put his red line down. He's got to save face. Oh, you know, and here's the question I wanted to get to. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Michael will be back tomorrow night. You can come in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, and go online to michaelsavage.com. Why in the world, if we're serious about this, aren't we targeting Assad? I mean, if we're saying it's such a horrific crime that he's used chemical weapons on his own people, then why don't we target him? Brett Stevens, Wall Street Journal, great point. He says a strike directed straight at the Syrian dictator and his family, the only military option that could hasten the end of the civil war. And the only one that would really send a signal to dictators around the world, you use chemical weapons, you will be killed. He says what we should do is target Assad, his brother, his family, anybody with a claim on political power associated with him, the political symbols of the Assad family power, all their official and unofficial residences. And that would tell people, that's the red line. And if you cross it, that's what's going to happen to you. And people, the hand-wringing, oh, no, we couldn't do that. We can't target someone for assassination. That's against the law. That's just, so instead, what we should do is target, what, the grunts on the ground? How does that make any sense? You know, you wonder, if our president had to worry that when we go to war, the country we're at war with would try to target him and kill him and his family, would he think differently about how easy it is to get into war? And with the dictators, knowing that we're going to target their homes, their cars, their family, if they start a war with us, would they be more circumspect about what they do? I don't understand why that's such a bad idea. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Hey, let me get Daniel in. He was in the Afghan war, wants to chime in on this. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. I was in Afghanistan, and I was in there towards the later part of the war. Of course, they went in and bombed directly after 9/11. Under the idea that Al-Qaeda was being hosted there, and they were, but it wasn't the entire nation that they had to bomb to get Al-Qaeda out of there. And then the justification for chemical warfare of us going into Syria is it was a limited incident. We don't know if Assad actually used it. It could have been anybody. And I wouldn't put it past Al-Qaeda to actually use chemical weapons on people.
Oh, I definitely think they would. If Al-Qaeda got these chemical weapons, I guarantee you they would to get exactly what's happening now.
Yeah, and, you know, there's an excellent money angle in here somewhere. I don't know quite where it is. Afghanistan has trillions of dollars in natural resources that we're trying to get our hands on. And remember we put Karzai in Afghanistan as somewhat democratically elected? When was the last time they had another election?
Well, you know, Daniel, thanks for the call. I'll tell you this. I don't necessarily think there's always a money, we're trying to get their resources thing, because where's our free oil from Iraq? Didn't happen. I really think sometimes we think these things are going to work out really well for us, and then we're not going to have to worry about the Middle East, and then oil's going to flow free, and there's our money angle. That's why I say keep the fracking going, get energy independence in North America, and we don't have to worry about these idiots anymore in the Middle East. That's what we need. Because this isn't working. And the idea that somehow we're going to come out on top on this? By the way, Ed Henry went after Jay Carney about getting congressional approval for an attack on Syria. We don't have time for it right now, but he quoted candidate Obama in 2007 that said, "The president should not be able to go to war without congressional approval unless the nation is attacked or threatened with an attack." That's not happening here. Yet all of a sudden now Obama sees it differently. Same thing with Joe Biden. My name is Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. You can go online to michaelsavage.com. Michael will be back tomorrow night. Don't miss it. All right, I got some interesting stories. They're interesting to me, so I'm hoping they're interesting to you. Have you been in the market for a robot car? Oh, I don't even know what a robot car is. All right, it's the autonomous car. Now, listen to this. Nissan says that they are going to have multiple, affordable, energy-efficient, fully autonomous driving vehicles ready by 2020. Now, we're not talking about prototypes. We're talking about coming off the factory line, affordable for you to have an autonomous car. Now, I love this. Now, granted, there are times I think eventually we're going to end up like the Matrix. I do think that sometimes. I'm a little paranoid of technology, okay? But I love this idea because I hate driving to and from work. And I hate going on long drives like 6 hours to grandma's house, okay? I would love to be in the back of the minivan with my kids watching the movie with the headset on instead of driving. I mean, we could be watching some great movies back there. So imagine this. Imagine that you can get in to your car in the morning and just say, work, and it drives you to work. And you can be reading the newspaper. Maybe you could be doing some work. Maybe you could be eating your breakfast. Maybe you could, I mean, who knows? Now, a lot of people are doing that anyway. My dad, I think he thought he had a robot car. I mean, every day of his adult life that I have known this man, he has shaved on the way to work. Now, not with the foam and the regular razor. He has an electric razor. But what he does is he steers with his knees, pulls the skin tight with one hand, and uses his other hand to shave. Never had a wreck. I'm like, Dad, somebody up there loves you. I mean, it doesn't just like you. Loves you. Because there is no way on God's green earth you should be able to do that. But you can do it now because you got the autonomous car. Now, here's some of the things that come up. Here's the number one reason it should go through. You end drunk driving. Ended like that, right? I mean, you're at the bar, you're drunk. As long as you can still mumble the word home to your car, then you're going to be okay, right? It knows how to get you home. I mean, who would you rather have driving home, the drunk guy or the robot? I'll take the robot. There was a guy here, we had a story this morning. He was drunk, his friend was drunk, so they sent his 12-year-old kid to take him to get something to eat. I mean, you know, it was better than driving drunk, right? Well, no, the 12-year-old couldn't drive, and the cop pulled him over because he was weaving all over the road. But at least the 12-year-old wasn't drunk. You can have the autonomous robot car do the driving. But then what happens? Are you ready to give up control to that robot? Do you want to be the first generation handling the bugs in that program? I mean, I've had problems with my GPS before, haven't you? I've had my GPS that if I'd followed it, I would have been in the middle of nowhere. Your GPS going to drive you into a lake? Probably not a good idea. But then how about this? Let's say everybody starts getting their own robot cars going, okay? And then you have a wreck. And both cars were being driven by the robot. Who's at fault? And when the cops come and say, okay, this car was at fault because this car shouldn't have been here, but I wasn't driving. Well, we're putting it on your license. How can you put it on my license? I wasn't driving. and we're suing you. But I wasn't driving. It's not my fault. It's the computer's fault. Who made the computer? We're suing Nissan. We're suing Google. We're suing Android. We're suing... I'm sure we're going to have some competitors here. We're going to have the Android robot car. We're going to have the Mac or the iCar that we're going to go after. I don't know. There's a lot of things still to consider on this, but I like where it's going. I like it. And I want the flying car next. They got prototypes of that going on. I want the flying car. I mean, really, when you think about it, how long have we had jet planes since the 70s? And we haven't improved it really very much since then. We're still just flying around in jet planes. Where is my Jetson car? I've been waiting on that for a long time. Get that going. But we do have now researchers at the University of Washington that for the first time they say one person has remotely triggered another person's movement through a signal sent to him by thought. So they had the one guy, they both had these brain helmets on. The one dude is sitting on one side of the campus, the other guy's on the other side, and he flicks his finger and it makes the other guy flick his finger. The guy said it felt like an involuntary twitch. And they think this is going to be helpful for people who have neurological ailments. They call it transcranial magnetic stimulation. Now we're getting freaky deaky. See, this is where I start to get a little paranoid over the technological advances that we're making because I start to wonder, are they really the advances that we think they are? What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And while we're talking about politicians going around the law, we've talked about that a lot tonight with President Obama and Syria. The great piece by Glenn Reynolds today in his column, USA Today has it, I think it's a couple of the places. And he's hitting on a pet peeve of mine, this idea that government officials, elected officials, government workers, sometimes are able to go around the laws they write. They have special privileges that you don't. All Americans are equal. Some are more equal than others. Here's what he says. All over America, government officials enjoy privileges ordinary citizens don't. Sometimes it involves guns, special rules, favoring police, politicians, even retired government employees that you don't get. I mean, if you're a retired FBI agent, you can carry your gun pretty much anywhere. Now, why do you get special treatment and I don't?
Well, because I was a trained FBI agent.
So, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I've never broken the law in my life. I've never been violent to anybody in my life. Why shouldn't I be able to carry my gun everywhere to take care of myself?
Well, you're not a former FBI agent.
That's not an answer. Sometimes it's things like the special non-traceable license plates that tens of thousands of California state employees get. Colorado legislators get it. Similar immunities. How about immunities from legal challenges, like the qualified immunity to lawsuits that most government officials have? Or how about the absolute immunity to lawsuits enjoyed by judges and prosecutors? By the way, you know how that was created? Judicial action, not legislation. Now, do you think it would change the way a judge rules if he knows that he could be susceptible to the very same lawsuits that he is ruling upon compared to, I'm immune to that. You can't sue me. Why? Why should you not get? Well, see, I get sued too much. Well, how come doctors can't say that? How come in many states teachers can't say that? How come you can't say that? Well, because you're not a judge. So yeah, is it? That doesn't answer the question. And we're getting more and more of this. And remember now, these are the people that claim they're public servants. So they're serving you. I love that one. I sacrificed so much. President Obama did this, remember? I sacrificed so much. I could have made a lot more money in the private sector. But I sacrificed it all to serve you. Really, you sacrificed it all so you can skip traffic in the presidential motorcade, skip flying traffic by having Air Force One, a flying fortress in the sky. Go on vacation anywhere you want to, first class, five star, all the way. You're making great money as a president. Don't have nearly the expenses that the average American does. You're set for life now. You're going to be a multimillionaire for the rest of your life, giving speaking engagements all over the world. Everybody treats you like a rock star or a king, and somehow it's because you've sacrificed so much to serve us? By the way, you weren't doing so great in the private sector before you became the President of the United States of America. I don't know how much you've really been sacrificing and serving us. Seems like we're the ones getting served. No, no, no. They're servants of ours. It's like our own royalty now. The creation of two classes of citizens, more one equal than others. Not something the framers wanted. In fact, have you seen Article 1, Section 9? It prohibits the federal government from granting titles of nobility. They didn't want our politicians to be treated like kings. That's one of the reasons we fought the Revolutionary War. Now listen, this isn't just Obama. Let's be frank here. We've been doing this for generations. I think our president is treated too much like a king. I know that we have to watch out for him for security reasons, but these presidential motorcades are out of control. The amount of time that he spends on Air Force One is out of control. The way he disrupts the average person's life wherever he goes is out of control. See, I don't think the president should be allowed to fly whenever he wants to on Air Force One. I think they should actually limit how much he gets to travel across the country. Well, he's got to get out there and talk to the people. There's this thing called the TV. He's got plenty of time to talk on the TV. And yes, I understand sometimes he has to get out there, but not as much as they do. I think there should be a limit on how much the president should be able to fly all over the place for vacation. He's got Camp David, and he's got his own house, wherever he lives from, and maybe one other vacation a year, and the rest of the time he can stay at the White House. It's an awful nice place to have a staycation. The rest of us have to do it. Why not the president?
Oh, man, why do you want to do that?
Article 1, Section 10 also says the states are not allowed to have titles of nobility. I think they thought it was pretty important, says Glenn Reynolds. That's right. But see, they're not granting him titles like a baron or a duke or a sir like they do in Great Britain. Well, what about the title of senator, congressman, president? When you treat people with those titles the same way you would a baron, a duke, or a sir, isn't it the same thing? Isn't it? There hasn't been much action on this at all. But why is it that for too many of these people, they feel like they are above you, the government for of and by the people, run by people who think they're above you? Doesn't that bother you a little bit? Because it really bothers me. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. In just a minute, I want to get you the latest on Michelle Obama's food program. And did you know we've gone 100 days and our debt hasn't risen one penny? Wow, how are we doing that? Oh, we're breaking the law. We'll get to it in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in from Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. We've been talking about Syria a lot. We've been talking about Obama breaking the law a lot. Well, how about your privacy? Story out of the AP today. Facebook is now admitting the government has demanded data on 38,000 users. 26,000 requests here in the United States of America. 74 different countries, but lots of it right here in the United States. Well, what do you expect? I mean, listen, you're the one putting that information up on Facebook, right? Well, see, when people say that to me, I'm like, okay, but hold on a second. When you put up information on Facebook, especially if you put it in a private way that's only supposed to be accessible to your friends that you choose who your friends are, you expect your friends can see it, and you expect the people who run Facebook, of course, can see it. But you don't expect it to go to the government. It's the same kind of thing like with your phone records. You understand that when you have a phone provider, whether it be your cell phone provider or your landline provider, that they're going to have your metadata. I mean, they're running the business. They're going to know who you called, when you called, and for how long you called. It's on your phone bill. You get that. But you didn't expect that the government was going to be able to get it without even getting a warrant. See, You actually thought they were going to abide by the Fourth Amendment, but then you found out the Supreme Court told them, hey, if a third party hasn't, then it doesn't really matter because now there's no expectation of privacy. Well, wait, I expected privacy from my government. I didn't expect it from my provider. Too bad. Facebook and Twitter have become organizing platforms around the world, so therefore countries around the world want to know more information about the people who are organizing protests against them. And Facebook and Google and Microsoft and others are releasing it because they have to, or they'll be shut down, or they'll be fined, or they'll be tied up in court for so long it's not worth it to them. So, hey, listen, they know it's bad business for them to give out your stuff and give out your information, but they also don't want to go out of business by having the government sue them to death or tie them up in court so long and fine them so much money that they're losing money that way too. So they say, look, we're doing everything we can. We try to resist it. Facebook turned over some data in response to about 60% of the requests in the United States of America. Not clear exactly how much data they gave out. Also, the numbers are not precise because the federal government forbids the companies from telling you how many times they've been ordered to turn over the information. Glad we have the most transparent presidency in the history of America, aren't you? Wow. Meanwhile, students are rebelling and parents are rebelling over Michelle Obama's new food program. We've been telling you about this for a long time. Well, now students in a rural Kentucky county and their parents, according to the Daily Caller, are complaining. They say it tastes like vomit. That is Myra Mosley at a board meeting last week. And they're saying, look, there's not enough food. The kids don't like the food. They won't eat it. It's having problems all across the country. AP reporting, after just 1 year, some schools are dropping out of the healthier new federal lunch program. They say so many students are turning up their noses at the meals that the cafeterias were losing money because people quit eating there and they started bringing their own lunch. Some of these cafeterias were losing $100,000. They said, we can't do this. So they're throwing out the old program and bringing back the food that the kids actually like and will actually eat. Man. Well, you know, I mean, who could have predicted that? I mean, really? Oh, well, that's right. All of us. Not enough food, too low of calories, not enough protein, not allowing the kids the carbohydrates that they like because we've just got to get them from being obese. Well, we're getting them from being obese, all right. They won't eat their food. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-7282. So what are you saying about Syria? Let's get a couple more of your thoughts here. Let's start with Paul. Paul wants to jump in on Vladimir Putin and Russia supporting Syria in all of this. Paul, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Greg Knapp, hi. Great show you're putting on. You know, my comment was, with this president and how he has managed international affairs, I mean, Putin could probably get away with some kind of bluff, like, hey, you shoot your missiles at Damascus, you might have to deal with us. You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's a good point. Thanks for the call. Is that we do have that kind of thing going on right now with Russia and China. They are threatening some kind of response. They are saying this shouldn't happen. There was a great piece by Rich Lowry in National Review Online where he was talking about President Obama, the sap, because he seems to be taken for a ride by just about everybody he gets into this stuff with. You know, I mean, really, if you look at it, let me see. I've got it right here. Yeah, here we go. The sap. President Obama, you remember in South Korea in 2012 when he told Medvedev, after my election, I'll have more flexibility. Remember that one? And Medvedev said, I will transmit this information to Vladimir. And, of course, Putin was very happy, chortled at the heartbreaking naivete of President Obama. You know, Putin didn't care about Obama's flexibility. He cared about an opportunity thwart the United States. So when Obama said Assad had to go, Putin worked to make sure he stayed. Obama said the National Security Agency leaker Edward Snowden had to return to the U.S. Putin granted him asylum. A few weeks ago, Putin related to a group of Russian students that he had told Snowden to stop doing damage to the U.S. The students laughed out loud. Obama has perfected the art of speaking reproachfully and carrying little or no stick. It's true, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that really fit exactly what's been going on? I mean, his whole point was, you know, If I could just talk down America and make it so that America is not the big bully of the world anymore, and America is not the superpower, and I go around and I talk to our enemies and let them know that I'm a different kind of president, and we'll get this international goodwill, the world will love us again, and everything will fall in line, and guess what's happened? The exact opposite. Exactly what people like Michael Savage and I have told you. The adversaries don't fear us. The allies don't trust us. It's exactly what we told you, and it's coming true. Talk radio has been right all along, whether it be Obamacare, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the Arab Spring, the Egyptian speech by Obama. We've been right all along. You know who's been wrong? People like Obama. Backing the wrong people. Remember Hillary Clinton, Assad in 2011? There's a different leader in Syria now. He's a reformist. What's she saying about Assad now? Not looking so great, is it? Thanks for having me into your home. My name is Greg Knapp, and for Michael Savage, I'm a Savage Nation.
Savage.